Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Over the last few months, we have been reporting on the false reporting of the Christian media, pro-life journalists who are misrepresenting rulings, judges, misrepresenting the truth, and it's egregious. And I was talking with John Lofton, editor of the American View. He, by the way, is one of the leaders who is included in our full-page open letters to Dr. Dobson, to pro-lifers, one of the leaders condemning the recent partial birth abortion ruling as a ruling that authorizes the slaughter, the killing of babies, late-term babies, even by partial birth abortion. Well, anyway, we were talking, and he said, Bob, you just took on Lynn Vincent of World Magazine for false reporting about this Gonzales v. Carhart ruling. And it turns out that John did an article 2 years ago, and here is the title. We also have history with Stephen Ertel of LifeNews.com because of his false reporting. And so we have these shows in our archives. People go to kgov.com, and in fact, those are some of the more popular shows, because we have individual Christians whose names are being associated with spreading false information. So John Lofton did this article, wow, 2005. Here's the headline. False reporting by Steve Ertelt's LifeNews.com, repeated by World Magazine, misled Christians to think Bush would name pro-life judges. In this article now, it's about Stephen Ertelt, and he is the source of a serious lie about 20 judges that Bush nominated and renominated. And then that lie was picked up by Lynn Vincent, who published it in World Magazine, and then it went throughout the Christian pro-life media. And so let me read this first introduction to this article. And this is by John Lofton, editor of the American View. So how did it come about that so many sincere Christian conservatives supported President Bush because they thought he had a good record in picking pro-life judges? Well, sad to say, one reason is because some supposedly Christian pro-life news organizations have reported as fact information that is fiction. John, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Well, thank you, sir. I'm delighted to be here.
It's really good to have you, John. And thank you for standing with us, Colorado Right to Life, Human Life International, Judy Brown, American Life League, in warning people that this partial birth abortion ruling is not a victory. It is an egregious violation of the law of God.
Mm-hmm.
So this article, could we talk through this article? This is extraordinary in the fact that the publisher of World Magazine refused to print a correction. So let's continue through. What's the history? What happened back in January of 2005?
Well, I was reading my World Magazine, and there was a story that was headlined, Climate Change. Lynn Vincent wrote the article, and she wrote, quote, "What may be the biggest abortion-related political battle of 2005 began on December 23, 2004, when President Bush announced that he would renominate 20 pro-life judges, including formerly filibustered nominees, Alabama Attorney General Bill Pryor and Texas Supreme Court Judge Priscilla Owen."
Now, John, that's exciting to get 20 pro-life judges nominated. Boy, I would celebrate downtown at the most expensive restaurant I could find.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's big. And
absolutely.
So,
but, Bob, I've been around too long to get too excited too fast. As the old saying goes, I was born at night, but not last night.
Right.
So I thought, wow, this is interesting.
Yeah.
But how does anybody know that they're pro-life? Because, of course, Bush said over and over, he has no litmus test. So how would Lynn Vincent know that these nominees were pro-life?
Yeah, that would take a significant amount of research. And, in fact, we recorded. I've been on the air for 15 years, 5 days a week. And we recorded back when Bush first began running for the presidency. His very first campaign promise was that he had no litmus test.
Sure.
And what that means is I do not ask judges whether they are against the killing of children. That
Absolutely.
Is not a litmus test issue for me. So that's basically a promise to PROA boards.
Yes.
And, in fact, Alberto Gonzalez, who has been Bush's number one favorite lawyer and judge, is radically pro-abortion. So we know, and Bush helped stack the Texas courts with pro-abortion judges.
Sure.
So we know that he's not lying. A lot of Christians actually have told me over all these years, well, he's just saying that. They're they're hoping that he's lying. But but we know he's not lying. He doesn't ask a judge if he's against the killing of innocent children.
Yeah, I call this the no litmus test litmus test. In other words, his litmus test is that he has no litmus test.
Right.
And in Bush's defense, briefly, we want to keep that brief, a number of Christian, so-called Christian organizations and individuals have attempted to hold Bush to promises that Bush never made.
Right.
That because these leaders and organizations are Republican Party cheerleaders, they not only put the best possible spin on what Bush says, they invent out of whole cloth what his position is. One of the things we heard over and over was that Bush promised to pick judges like Scalia and Thomas. To make a long story short, there's no such promise. He never said that. He simply said those were his favorite judges. Why, I don't know. But so Bush, a lot of things Bush has said, he really believes them. And
well, I have, John Lofton, I have a quote here from Antonin Scalia. He appeared at the Pew Forum on Religion and Morality and Government, and he said explicitly that he would strike down a law that is the opposite of Roe v. Wade. In other words, he said if one group wants to prohibit abortion nationwide, he said, I would strike down that law. And what that shows is he's not pro-life.
No.
Pro-life means that you believe in the God-given right to life that that every person has, so that you cannot authorize the killing, the intentional killing of an innocent person.
Well, Scalia has made the point more than once of speaking to Catholic groups that, oh, of course he has religious views about abortion, which the implication is that it's against, but he's then made the explicit point that his religious views have nothing to do with his ruling.
Yes, yeah, so thou shalt not murder, and thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt, right, and thou shalt not bear false witness, that's perjury. He has no real commitment to those, because if you follow the process, this is called secular humanism, which National Right to Life and tragically James Dobson at Focus on the Family, they have bought into this.
Yep.
If you follow the process, then a judge could rule to uphold stealing, sexual immorality, murder, and it's fine. In fact, it's praiseworthy because they have given up the Christian worldview and adopted the secular worldview of law. So now let's continue with your article.
Okay, so I call Lynn Vincent up and ask her where she got this idea, which she reported without any attribution that Bush had renominated or nominated 20 pro-life judicial nominees. Well, she said she got it from Steve Ertelt's website, even though, again, she did not attribute it to Ertelt.
Life
in her
News.
Article. I go to Ertelt's website, and he has an article there, December 23rd, 2004.
Right.
Big headline, President Bush will renominate 20 pro-life judges.
Okay.
Democrat fight looms. The lead paragraph repeats the 20 pro-life judges phraseology, but there's nothing in his story that even remotely tells us how any of these nominees are pro-life.
Okay, so now here we are a couple years later, and Bob and Yurt Live is involved, and John Lofton and the American View is involved in this effort to bring pro-lifers back to a Christian worldview strategy. And we now realize that World Magazine and Lynn Vincent, that they are willing to misreport even something as significant as a Supreme Court ruling and opinion, and that Stephen Ertelt, LifeNews.com, is unwilling to report realistically, honestly, of the impact of pro-life legislation. And so when she said, well, I'm using Steve Ertelt as my source, and in fact an unnamed source, this is now, it's obviously hugely problematic.
Well, I think you're a master of the understatement, and I would like to make a slight distinction between Vincent and Ertelt. Vincent practiced sloppy journalism, obviously by Christian standards, even by the secular standards of not putting a comma and saying, according to Steve Ertelt's Life News, blah, blah, blah. Ertelt is much more culpable and can honestly be accused of committing a much more serious crime here, because I do think he knows better. When I emailed him and asked him for any evidence that any of these 20 or all 20 were pro-life judges, these nominees of Bush, he emailed me back and he said this, and this is a quote, "See our past stories as we've covered virtually all of them," meaning the nominees and their actions and their statements. "Use our search," Ertelt says, "on his website to find a specific person." Well, I did this. The result was that many of the 20 judges referred to by Ertelt weren't mentioned at all on his website, and the ones that were mentioned, there was no information about them being pro-life.
I would guess that he mentioned Priscilla Owen and that he mentioned William Pryor.
Yes.
And that's probably about it, maybe a couple others out of 20.
Let me talk about Pryor for a second, because Ertelt, by the way, this wasn't the only article, the previous one I referred to, where Ertelt talked about Bush's pro-life nominees. One of them was William Pryor, the former Attorney General of Alabama, the persecutor, the Grand Inquisitor of Roy Moore. And Ertelt wrote this in an October 14th, 2004 piece. He wrote this about Pryor, quote, "Pryor drew praise from pro-life groups and criticism from abortion advocates after his stalwart defense of his pro-life position during the hearings in the Senate Judiciary Committee," unquote.
Stalwart now, defense of a pro-life position. I'd have a hard time believing that would be offered by any judicial nominee, because they're all legal positivists. They
Absolutely.
All will uphold the killing of a child if it follows the process.
Well, absolutely. And Pryor, in that very hearing, in the hearing that Ertelt says that Pryor made a stalwart defense of the pro-life position, Pryor did defend his own pro-life views. But Ertelt left out, and this is blatantly dishonest, Ertelt left out the fact that in this same hearing, Pryor said, and this is a direct quote, "Even though I strongly disagree with Roe v. Wade, I have acted in accordance with it as Attorney General," meaning of Alabama, "and would continue to do so as a court of appeals judge," unquote.
Okay,
now, so much for a stalwart defense.
Yeah, a stalwart defense. So here's what we have, John. We have Democratic presidential candidates who say that they are personally opposed to abortion. And we hear that so often, it's nauseating. I am personally opposed to abortion,
sure,
but as a governing official, I will uphold the law of the land. And so we have judges who have been convinced by Christian leaders that it is the right thing for them to do. It is the right thing for them to rule to kill the innocent as long as they're following the process. And that is the defense theory at Nuremberg when the German judges were tried for murder because they ruled to kill the innocent. And they said, well, we were personally against it, but we were following the law and we were following precedent.
Wow, that is absolutely true. When I originally called Ertelt's bogus, phony reporting to the attention of the World Magazine publisher, Joel Beltz,
right,
he at first reacted in a way that I was hopeful. He sounded like he was concerned and would check out what I told him. But then days went by, weeks went by, I got no reply from him. Then I got a very abrupt, curt email which said this, quote, "We have no responsibility to respond to your comments and queries. Please do not address further questions to any of our staff," unquote. Now, here's what I responded to him. It's very short.
Yeah.
Quote, "You have a responsibility to God and your readers to report things truthfully. You did not do so when Len Vincent reported that Bush had named 20 pro-life judges. I am shocked at your indifference to truth regarding this matter, which also involves sloppy journalism, Vincent reporting something from another source but not attributing her information to that source."
This is Joel Beltz. This is Joel Beltz, publisher of World Magazine, that you are emailing.
That's right.
Okay,
and so,
go ahead.
I said that Vincent not only, she reported from another source, not attributing information to that source, provided no backup data, and I told Joel in the final sentence I shall continue to address questions to you or any of your staff when the occasion warrants it. So what Belts basically said was, drop dead. Go away. We're not even going to investigate whether or not we misreported something. We don't care. That's what he's saying.
Wow. So yeah. He refused to print a clarification, no correction, just stop calling us. Well, here's what I'm going to ask our audience to do. I'm going to ask them to take the show summary of this program, which we print out at kgov.com, and to email it to Joel Bells, and perhaps we could get one or two other email addresses at worldmag.com, and to request that they print a correction now 2 years later, and also continue to request a correction for the egregious Jason Blair-type reporting of Lynn Vincent on the partial birth abortion ruling. That was just so devastating, John Lofton.
Sure.
She characterized that ruling. She said things like, perhaps this is a Mother's Day present for the unborn.
Oh, my gosh.
And
she
asserted to us privately that she had read this ruling. And I had said, before she did her article, and I had said that either she did not read it, which is an example of horrendous journalism. It's only 40 pages. She's writing a major piece for Christians on the ruling. Or she read it, and she's intentionally misrepresenting. Because the ruling says, for example, of a living, late-term baby in the womb, it says, quote, the removal of a small portion, such as an arm or a leg, of the fetus is not prohibited. And so they're saying you could tear apart this baby. You could kill it with an injection, a lethal injection, they say. You could kill it all kinds of ways. You could even do a partial birth abortion. Just don't pull it up to the neck. Pull it out to the navel, then kill the baby.
Sure.
And you could even kill the baby pulling him out to the neck in a standard partial birth abortion under certain circumstances. This is a brutally wicked ruling, more violent than Roe v. Wade. And the ruling is more brutal and wicked than the technique that it purportedly bans. And she calls this perhaps a Mother's Day present to the unborn.
Well, by the way, you mentioning the Mother's Day thing, one of the things your listeners can read if they go to our website, which is theamericanview.com, theamericanview.com, is an article I wrote when I attended on May 20th a Mother's Day brunch put on by NARAL Maryland, the National Abortion Rights Action League Maryland, had a Mother's Day brunch, and on the program, the printed program, is an outline silhouette of a woman pushing a baby carriage.
Mm.
It's just unbelievable. But let's go back to the Supreme Court. As familiar as we are with some of these brutal, wicked rulings, still, it was quite extraordinary in a majority decision upholding the congressional ban on partial birth abortion to see Kennedy, in that same decision, say explicitly how the court ruling and the congressional ban could be circumvented, how it could be violated. It was an amazingly evil document.
Well, I mean, when in the history of the U.S. Supreme Court has the court put a manual, a virtual manual on how to kill late-term babies into its own ruling? It is violent and wicked, and Lynn Vincent gives not even a hint of that. She was determined in her reporting to hide the wickedness of the ruling and to misreport and to lead Christians to believe that this was a good and righteous victory. They give a picture in this article of Anthony Kennedy that makes him look like a loving grandfatherly advisor.
Yikes.
Plain talk on abortion, Kennedy is the caption of the photo. It is just devastating. The lies in this article that the justices are talking about the real relationship between the mother and the unborn child. They're thinking of the child as not a fetus, but a child, which is the exact opposite of the truth.
Well, if you want to be further horrified, and I can't imagine why you could, the actual audio Supreme Court arguments on the partial birth abortion congressional ban are available.
I've listened to part of those.
Oh, it's hideous. Hideous.
We have here people on staff who've listened to the whole oral
argument.
It's only like an hour each each time this came
through
the court.
There's also a transcript available, too. And one of the phrases I picked up, I hadn't heard. By the way, I'm working on a piece called The Semantics of Murder. And one of the phrases I learned from listening to the oral arguments and reading the transcript was fetal demise.
Fetal demise.
Fetal demise. It was absolutely blood-curdling and blood-chilling to hear the tape of the oral argument where the justices and the lawyers for the two respective sides just went back and forth in this monotone, and they're talking about murdering people.
About killing these babies.
Yes.
And every intentional abortion is criminal, but
is.
When the baby is late term, it's just more obvious that they're killing a child,
right.
and they deal with it like they're regulating how fast you could take an on-ramp to a highway. That's how they deal with it. And so then we are told by the pro-life media that this is a victory because there's no health exception. And we point out this upside-down world of the pro-life movement. No health exception used to mean that in the wicked world of abortion law, if there was no health exception, you could save that baby because they can't go in and kill the baby with the force and protection of the federal government. But now with this ruling, the justices say there is no health exception because you can kill the baby.
Sure.
You don't need a health exception. Just kill the baby. And they say, here's all these ways to kill the baby. So you have lawyers speaking for Americans United for Life and National Right to Life and Focus on the Family, and you get this double talk, whereas the ruling itself says you can pull the baby out to the belly button and kill the baby. And Tom Minery at Focus on the Family wants to talk about a facial challenge that supposedly this has brought abortion law light years into the future, when that's exactly how Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton got started. There is nothing new that is good or righteous or hopeful. This is a wicked ruling.
Absolutely. Let me say something quickly about Tom Minery, and then let's return to Steve Urkel, because he actually answered my article. This is something you don't know anything about, and
you
haven't heard what he actually had to say. But Tom Minery and American Family Association and Tony Perkins and Don Wildman, many months ago, they held a press conference in Washington, and once again, they were complaining how, you know, Bush sold them out, Bush ignores us, Bush doesn't care. That's what these guys do. They cheerlead for 3 years, 4 years, and then they complain about the guy they voted for. So it's kind of like hitting yourself with a hammer over and over and then complaining because your head hurt. It's stupid, among other things. It's stupid. But I told men, I had an interview with Tom Minery. It's on our website. And I said, how can you and Dobson and others support Alito when Alito, as a lower court judge, voted to strike down a ban on partial birth abortion?
Right.
And so he said, well, tell me about that.
Oh.
And I thought, why? He's already confirmed. He's already, you've already been for him. And then I told him, and he said, well, Alito had to vote the way he voted, that a lower court can't overturn the Supreme Court ruling on abortion. And I said, Tom, we're not talking about overturning it. How about disagreeing with it? I mean, the guy, and I think he was sincerely uninformed, sincerely ignorant.
Well, John Lofton, we're finding this out. People all over the country ask us, how is it that Bob Benyart Live on one radio station and the internet does research and gets the rulings and the records of these nominees when Focus on the Family, with a $150 million annual budget and a whole public policy department, lawyers on staff, judicial analysts, they don't know. And the truth is, they didn't know, they don't know, and they don't want to know.
Exactly.
They do not want to know how pro-abortion these Republican nominees are. They don't want to know, and that's because their commitment is to party politics.
Exactly.
It's not to thou shall not murder. They have relegated that to a lower concern.
All right, think about this for a minute. As to why everything you just said is true. They are, most of these, almost all these Christian leaders, so-called, in Christian organizations, are not Christians first. They are Republican Party cheerleaders. Now, think about what the cheerleader does. First of all, most cheerleaders in most games have their back to the game. They don't see what's going on. They don't care because they're there to cheer, see? They're not cheering on the basis of merits on an individual play. They're certainly not researching the plays. And even if their team runs to the wrong goal, They probably don't know it. They're not facing the game. They are there to mindlessly cheer their team.
So that when William Pryor, who is telling everyone he's pro-life.
Stalwart.
He's on the 11th Circuit when Terry Schiavo's case comes before them. And we should fare pretty well there. Terry should do well because six of the judges on the 11th Circuit, six of them, were nominated by pro-life Republican presidents.
Wow.
Ronald Reagan, George Bush, and George W. Bush. We list on our websites, kgov.com, shadowgov.com, we list the rulings. You could read the rulings. You could see the justices who ruled, how they ruled. There were two dissents against killing Terry Schiavo, not because she had a right to life, but for process. All six of our judges voted to let Terry Schiavo be killed. All six. And National Right to Life and Tom Minery never came back to the pro-life community and said, you know what? Our strategy of electing pro-life Republicans to get pro-life judges is not working well. It's not working well. We got to recalculate. They've never done that because they are the cheerleaders. Let's get back to Steve Ertelt. We're almost out of time.
Please. Well, Ertelt evidently saw what I wrote on the website, and he wrote to me the following. It's short. Quote, Michael and John, he means Michael Perutka, who's really my boss and the publisher of the website, mm-hmm. who was the presidential candidate of the Constitution Party.
Right.
Michael and John, I must say I'm honored that in 2 days of your blog's existence, I'm already the subject of two news stories and putting me in the same company as many other nationally noted and respected pro-life advocates for your criticism is an honor indeed. I also enjoyed seeing the doctored photo of me from 7 years ago. The change from color to black and white to make me look more sinister was a great touch.
Oh,
Thank you very much for the free publicity for Life News on your website. I appreciate it. May God bless you and your families. Yours, Stephen. Okay.
So he didn't answer at all. Why did you fabricate that
these 20
judges are pro-life?
No. All right, here's what I wrote back. It's also brief. Dear Stephen, well, God bless you and your family, too. Now, that we're communicating, would you tell me, please, why you characterized as pro-life those 20 Bush judicial nominees you reported on? Also, please tell me why you said the evidence of them being pro-life was on your webpage when this evidence is not on your webpage, and why do you refer to Judges Owen, Pryor, and Brown as pro-life when all three in their respective confirmation hearings pledged to uphold Roe versus Wade?
Which, in other words, for the audience, in other words, they don't believe in the personhood and God-given right to the child, and that's what pro-life means. But go ahead.
Absolutely. It means
no
exceptions. That's right. That's right. And you remember in the Alito, one of Alito's hideous cases was where some lady who was 8 months pregnant, her baby died or was killed, and she was trying to file a wrongful death suit, and Alito said, well...
Hi, this is Bob Enyart breaking into my own program. I hope you're enjoying it, and we will continue from this point on tomorrow's show. So if you can, tune in. Same time, same station. And you can catch it on the internet at kgov.com. That's our website for Bob Enyart Live, kgov.com. KGOV.com. May God bless you.